My name is Klaus Kopp from Hamburg, and I'm here at my first Bilderberg meeting because I tried in 1995 to do my final exams on the Bilderberg topic.
Now, you were advised by one of your professors, I believe, not to do Bilderberg.
Well, it was actually not exactly my professor, it was a professor, and he was the director of the Hamburg Institute for Peace and Security Studies. He was the successor of Mr. Egon Bahr, former minister in the government of Willy Brandt. And as Egon Bahr attended a meeting of Bilderberg in 1971, I knew Egon Bahr would have some knowledge about this meeting. And so I asked Professor Dieter Lutz if he could ask, instead of me, because I was just too afraid to do this job, if he would have any knowledge on Bilderberg that he could share. And so, yes, Mr. Lutz agreed to ask him, and that's what he did. And he came back 3 days later after the weekend and told me then that Mr. Egon Bahr said, well, there are three good reasons for this young guy not to work on this Bilderberg topic on his final papers. First reason, if he is interested in a career as a political scientist, this career will be ended before it just began, because I would have worked on this Bilderberg topic. Second, as billions are somehow handled at Bilderberg, and as they would decide on peace and war, he will not find out anything about Bilderberg, so there's no good reason to work on something you will not find out anything about. And third reason not to work on Bilderberg is, if I would find out something, I would have to cope with personal problems. So I was, like, shocked. I knew there would be a kind of a conspiracy theory around Bilderberg. But to hear this from a professor was like a shock. And I screamed at him and said, well, you are the director at the Institute in Hamburg on peace and security research, which is not just some institute in the world. It's one of the top five institutes in the world. And you've never heard until Friday, when I asked you for Bilderberg, you've never heard about Bilderberg before. And now, on Monday, you just say that Egon Bahr said they would decide on peace and war at these conferences. And you've never heard about Bilderberg before. And now I ask you, are you serious? Who is paying you for your research work, which, as you don't even know that Bilderberg exists and where peace and war is done? And I was screaming, and in the middle of the sentence, my voice broke off, and he recognized this moment, and now he screamed at me and said, you blue-eyed asshole, do you really believe, you naive asshole, do you really believe the American president, he is voted? Are you serious? Where do you live? Where do you live? I said, that's where we are? Oh yes, that's where we are! I was totally shocked of this situation. That was one of the most significant moments in my research on Bilderberg.
Yeah, I think you did. You must have touched a nerve, I think. It sounds like you touched a very important nerve. But anyhow, I know you also made an attempt to track down one of the original German Bilderberg participants, and that's not easy because, you know, they've all died. But you managed to find his secretary. Who was that guy?
Well, it was Rudolf Müller, and for really a long time, I bumped into this name. Pretty soon, he and Max Brauer, the mayor of Hamburg, Max Brauer and Rudolf Müller, that these two guys represented Germany at the first meeting in 1954. So Max Brauer was easy, as being from Hamburg, but Rudolf Müller always just read that he would be a lawyer from Frankfurt, but I had no clue whom Rudolf Müller would be. So after I've been to several archives, I finally found out that Rudolf Müller was the president of the Wirtschaftspolitische Gesellschaft in Frankfurt, that he was co-founder of the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, which is one of the major newspapers in Germany, and that he was in the board of several big companies in Germany, and that before that he was finance minister after the Second World War in 1947 in the so-called B zone. So it was those two zones occupied by the Americans and the British. after I found out that that who Rudolf Müller actually was, I asked at the WePop if there does exist an archive about Rudolf Müller, which didn't exist. And I asked, does there still live someone who personally knew Rudolf Müller? And it's mentioned, yeah, there is this woman, Miss Käthe Koch, living in Frankfurt still. That was back in 2004, I think. And so they gave me her phone number and called her, and she was really shocked when I asked her on Bilderberg, because Mr. Rudolf Müller denied her to work on Bilderberg in any way. But she was his personal secretary for years, and all these papers for the different boards he worked for, but she was never allowed to work on Bilderberg. So she remembered well Bilderberg, the expression, the name, but she also mentioned, I'm very sorry, but I cannot help you at all. So I asked her, I would be in Frankfurt anyways in 2 weeks if I could give you a visit, and she agreed. And 2 weeks later, I came to Frankfurt. She invited me for a cup of tea and had some cookies, and then she said, listen, for 2 weeks, I made up my mind on Bilderberg, and yes, it was something that I can actually give you. Because that time I was, it must have been back in late May 1954, she said, which was funny, when you know that the first Bilderberg meeting is took place in late May 54 in Oosterbeek in Netherlands. So she remembered also in May 54, two men came to her office, or to the office of Rudolf Müller, in the case of Bilderberg. So I asked her, whom were those two persons? And she said, well, the one was the Archbishop of Cologne, Mr. Frings, and the second one was Otto John, whom was the Verfassungsschutzpräsident, so it was kind of the head of the intelligence service in Germany. Yeah, well, that was quite shocking to have the Vatican involved directly before the first meeting even happened. Yeah.
This particular Bilderberg meeting is happening at a very important time for the European Union.
I was also quite curious about the Brexit, but now, 3 days ago, I heard that a member of the British Parliament said whatever the result of the Brexit, of the voting will be, they will stay in the EU. So the Brexit is not really the point to me at the moment. But as several finance ministers from Europe meet up at this gathering here in Dresden, and being aware of the world debt, I think that's the core problem they're facing at the moment, how to cope with not letting the stock exchanges worldwide break down. I think that's more of a problem they're facing at the moment.
Would you like to just tell us about some of the German participants in here?
Oh, well, there is Wolfgang Schäuble, for sure. He is the finance minister of Germany and probably one of the more important persons, most important persons at this gathering. But, you know, listen, the frame of Bilderberg is not the EU. The frame of Bilderberg is that the participants are from the NATO states. Mm. So, in the core. And then Egon Bahr was right, it's about war and peace. So I think that is the point we are talking about. It's about military action somehow. Don't ask me what kind of action they plan. They always say that they do not have, that they do not make any decisions, which I doubt. There was Prodi who once made a statement that yes, they do make decisions, and I would agree. Prodi was also part of Bilderberg, so yes, they make decisions. Don't ask me what kind. I don't even know what they are talking about. Now they talk about the poor's first time in the history of Bilderberg. They talk about precariat. I don't know the English expression. Precariat.
The precariat. Yeah, this is a new term for many people.
Okay, well, it's about the studies on the poor's. And yes, as we can see that the earnings worldwide are tumbling of the average people. If all the people in the world would consume as much energy as the United States, you would need four worlds. So this makes the problem quite obvious, right? And we have this debt problem. I think the debt problem, that's one of the core problems they're also discussing here.
Yeah, because Herrhausen, he actually suggested, didn't he, German guy, that they really must give up this debt because it's destroying whole continents.
Yes, Alfred Herrhausen in 1988, he mentioned that in a gathering with the German bankers in Düsseldorf. And yes, also in 89 at the Bilderberg Conference, well, he was not able to proceed his engagement in leaving the debt for the third world countries, as he died a few months later. And as he said, he was assassinated by the Red Army faction in Germany. Well, one can doubt that, really. Bilderberg is a meeting where 80 to 140 people, I think there was a maximum amount of people ever attended, from the NATO states, do meet up for 3 days to discuss topics which are found by the steering committee. The steering committee is represented by two people of each country, and they make up their minds throughout the year what topics should be discussed. It obviously does not fit in with democracy. People can talk behind closed doors, okay, that there is no problem about that. But if they do decide, and as Prodi stated, they do decide, and he was an insider, I just can quote him to say, well, that's not democratic at all. So no, that makes the whole thing for now decades impossible to accept.